Open five. Hey everybody, this is Daytime Doug with the Open Fire Show. Our call-in number is 206-202-3579. Give it a call, give us a shout, let us know what you think, let your voice be heard. You can catch the podcast at openfire.podomatic.com or go to our website at www.msnusers.com/openfireradioshow. Join the website, use the message boards, use the chat room. Take a look at all the neat stuff we got going on. We got giveaways coming up. We've got great topics, great guests, great music, and great fun. So stick around with us and open fire. And welcome to another edition of Open Fire. I'm your show host, Daytime Doug. We got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about Hurricane Katrina and all the devastation that it did when it rolled onto the shore down there in Louisiana.
And that's how she wrote.
And about the federal government's role that they played or didn't play.
You some bitches couldn't close an umbrella.
And how the relief effort's going and where the money went. Supposedly $62 million to rebuild the area, according to President Bush.
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that somebody is going to get their ass whooped over this thing.
Hurricane Katrina was the 11th named tropical storm, fourth hurricane, third major hurricane, and first Category 5 hurricane of the 2005 Atlantic hurricane season. It was the third most powerful storm of the season behind Hurricane Wilma and Hurricane Rita, and the sixth strongest storm ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin. It first made landfall as a Category 1 hurricane just north of Miami, Florida on August 25, 2005, resulting in a dozen deaths in South Florida, spawning several tornadoes which happened not to strike any dwellings. Katrina strengthened to a 175-mile-an-hour storm in the Gulf of Mexico, one of the five most powerful ever recorded. It weakened by the time it made landfall again on August 29th along the central Gulf Coast near Burris Trump, Louisiana, as a Category 4 storm. The sheer physical size of Katrina caused devastation far from the eye of the hurricane. It was possibly the largest hurricane of its strength ever recorded. Judging by the size of storms in the pre-satellite era is difficult. On August 29th, its storm surge soon breached the levee system that now protected New Orleans from Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River. Most of the city was subsequently flooded mainly by water from the lake. Heavy damage was also inflicted onto the coasts of Mississippi and Alabama, causing Katrina to become the most destructive and costliest natural disaster in the history of the United States, and likely the deadliest since 1928. The official death toll now stands at 1,383, the third highest in U.S. history. That's behind the Galveston hurricane of 1900 and the Okeechobee hurricane of 1928. 6,644 others remain unaccounted for, and with a 1,300 of them feared dead. The damage is estimated from $100 to $200 billion, at least double from the previous most expensive hurricane, Hurricane Andrew, making Katrina the most expensive natural disaster in U.S. history. Over a million people were displaced, a humanitarian crisis on a scale unseen in the U.S. since the Great Depression. In Louisiana, the hurricane's eye made landfall at 6:10 Central Daylight Time on Monday, August 29th. After 11 a.m. Central Daylight Time, several sections of the levee system in New Orleans collapsed. By early September, people were being forcibly evacuated, mostly by bus, to neighboring states. Federal disaster declarations blanketed 90,000 square miles of the United States and an area almost as large as the United Kingdom. The hurricane left an estimated 5 million people without power, and it may take up to 4 months for all power to be restored. On September 3rd, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff described the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina as probably the worst catastrophe or set of catastrophes in the country's history, referring to the hurricane itself plus the flooding of New Orleans.
Let's just stop for a minute and think about this storm and all the things that happened because of this storm. We have a history of the storm. We have tornadoes that come from the storm. We have preparations and expectations before landfall, previous short-term preparations and expectations, advanced weather forecast, transportation and infrastructure, experts, predictions, risks, and preparations, evacuation and emergency shelters, New Orleans shelters, Louisiana Superdome, New Orleans Convention Center, shelters in Texas, local effects and aftermath, the looting and the violence, the death toll, health concerns, animal concerns, reports of price gouging, wage issues, causes of levee failures, disaster response. We have federal response, U.S. states response, international response, non-governmental charitable response, effects outside the immediate region, economic effects, space shuttle program, internet, science research, and some of the political effects, prevention and evacuation issues, race and class issues, environmental issues, congressional investigation, demographic shifts. These are just a few of the things that because of one storm on one day that the country as a whole had to go through and deal with all of these different issues. I could just say a paragraph on each one of these issues and that take up more than two or three shows. So I'll try to get to them the best that I can, and we can have a discussion on what the effects of some of these things were. If you'll call in at 206-202-3579 and give me your opinion, I want to hear and I want to play some of your comments on the air.
We're not going to be able to cover all of those issues today, but we'll start with a few of these topics and we'll cover them. The first one being tornadoes. There are at least 36 confirmed tornadoes associated with Hurricane Katrina, with 11 tornadoes in Mississippi, 4 in Alabama, 15 in Georgia, 1 in Virginia, and 5 tornadoes in Pennsylvania. So it wasn't just isolated to the Gulf Coast there, it went all the way up the East Coast. Most of the tornadoes were F0 or F1, but 3 tornadoes were rated F2 in Georgia, and there were 2 that were rated F2 in Mississippi. Tornadoes were reported in places including Adams and Cumberland counties in Pennsylvania, some in Virginia, Carroll County in Georgia, Carlton, Georgia, White County, Georgia, Helene, Georgia, and in Fort Valley, Georgia. Several other weak tornadoes were reported by television stations in and around Mobile, Alabama. One death was reported from an F2 tornado near Rootville, Georgia, and 500,000 chickens were killed or set free after about 15 poultry houses were damaged. Several injuries were reported with other tornadoes across Georgia. There was major damage in Helene, Georgia, by an F2 tornado, which destroyed homes and a hotel. In Fort Valley, Georgia, another tornado ripped through a credit union and destroyed local houses and trees. Now we all know the preparations and expectations before landfall, the advanced weather forecasts. Many living in the area felt that South Florida had minimal advance warning when Katrina strengthened from a tropical storm to a hurricane in one day and struck southern Florida later that same day on August 25th. Even so, National Hurricane Center forecast showed Katrina strengthening into a hurricane well in advance of landfall, and hurricane watches and warnings were indeed issued nearly 36 to 24 hours respectively before hurricane conditions were felt in the area. Watches and warnings were supposed to be issued at those time periods. By August 25th, the possibility of unprecedented cataclysm was already being considered. Some computer models were putting New Orleans right in the center of their track possibilities, and the chances of a direct hit were forecast at nearly 90%. The scenario was considered a potential catastrophe because 80% of New Orleans metropolitan area is below sea level. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco declared a state of emergency for state agencies. On August 27th, after Katrina crossed southern Florida and strengthened to a Category 3, President Bush declared a state of emergency in Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi 2 days before the hurricane. On August 28th, the National Weather Service issued a bulletin predicting devastating damage rivaling the intensity of Hurricane Camille. At a news conference, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin ordered a mandatory evacuation of the city, with Governor Blanco standing beside him. What this did to the transportation and infrastructure was, on Sunday, August 28th, Canadian National Railway, or CN, suspended all rail traffic on its line south of Macomb, Mississippi, lines owned by its subsidiary, Illinois Central Railroad, that extend into New Orleans in anticipation of damage from the hurricane. To help ease the resumption of services after the storm passes, CN also issued an embargo with the Association of American Railroads against all deliveries to points south of Oskaya, Mississippi. CSX Transportation also suspended service south of Montgomery, Alabama until further notice. The CSX, former Louisville and Nashville Railroad mainline from Mobile to New Orleans, is believed to have suffered extensive damage, especially in coastal Mississippi, but repair crews were not able to reach most parts of the line as of August 30th. Amtrak, America's rail passenger carrier, announced that the southbound City of New Orleans passenger trains from Chicago, Illinois, on August 29th and through September 3rd, would terminate in Memphis, Tennessee, rather than their usual destination of New Orleans. The corresponding northbound trains will also originate in Memphis. The southbound Crescent from New York City for the same period terminated in Atlanta, Georgia, with the corresponding northbound trains originating in Atlanta as well. Amtrak announced that no alternate transportation options would be made available into or out of the affected area. The Waterford Nuclear Power Plant was shut down on Sunday, August 28th, before Katrina's arrival. The State Departments of Transportation in the affected area, in conjunction with the Federal Highway Administration, have a huge job to rebuild the critical highways for access to the region. Interstate 10 seems at first glance to be the most critical to repair, especially the twin bridges over Lake Pontchartrain, which were destroyed. These are lifelines to the east, but assessing the damage, there will be no quick fix. These costs could run into many billions of dollars. Experts, the predictions, risks, and preparations that they came up with, the risk of devastation from a direct hit was well documented. The New Orleans Times paper ran a series on the risk in 2002. The series predicted many of the events that happened in 2005, including the breakdown of the levee system. Their quote, "It's only a matter of time before South Louisiana takes a direct hit from a major hurricane. Billions have been spent to protect us, but we grow more vulnerable every day," unquote. The New Orleans Times, June 23rd through 27th of 2002. National Geographic ran a feature in October 2004. Scientific America covered the topic thoroughly in an October 2001 piece titled Drowning New Orleans. Walter Williams did a serious short feature on it called New Orleans, The Natural History, in which an expert said a direct hit by a hurricane could damage the city for 6 months. CSO Magazine ran an interview with the National Weather Service's Gary Woodall, in which he listed 6 steps that citizens and company executives could take to prepare for hurricanes such as this. We've got a little bit of time to cover one more of these issues that we've been talking about, of the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. Evacuation and emergency shelters, and not since the Dust Bowl of the 30s or the end of the Civil War in the 1860s have so many Americans been on the move from a single event. At a news conference, 10 a.m. on August 28th, shortly after Katrina was upgraded to a Category 5 storm, New Orleans Mayor Ron Nagin called Katrina a storm that most of us have long feared, ordered the first ever mandatory evacuation of the city. Contraflow lane reversal on Interstate 10 leading west and Interstates 59 and 55 leading north from New Orleans was ended that afternoon. 2 weeks after the storm, over half of the states were involved in providing shelter for evacuees. By 4 weeks after the storm, evacuees had been registered in all 50 states and in almost half of the zip codes of the U.S., three-quarters of the evacuees had stayed within 250 miles, but tens of thousands had located more than 1,000 miles away. The Louisiana State Evacuation Plan declares the primary means of hurricane evacuation will be personal vehicles. School and municipal buses, government-owned vehicles, and vehicles provided by volunteer agencies may be used to provide transportation for individuals who lack transportation and require assistance in evacuating, in Part 1 of Section D. The State Evacuation Plan also assigns the responsibility of evacuation to each parish with the language, the parish will conduct and control local evacuation in parishes located in the risk area and manage reception and shelter operations in parishes located in the host area, in Part 1 of Section D. The State Evacuation Plan also assesses the responsibility of evacuation of the sick and those needing assistance to the owners of the facilities with the language, hospitals, nursing homes, government homes, group homes will have predetermined evacuation and or refuge plans if evacuation becomes necessary. All facilities will have approved multi-hazard emergency operations plans as mandated by the State of Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals before operating permits are given to homes, hospitals. Emergency precautions are to be taken, such as the placement of emergency supplies and equipment, i.e. generators and potable water, on upper floors, in Part 1 of Section D. As many of these facilities relied on the same bus companies and ambulance services for evacuation, several were unable to evacuate before the storm hit, resulting in the deaths of their occupants. In addition to residents, many tourists were stranded. Fuel and rental cars were in short supply. Also, Greyhound bus and Amtrak train service were halted well before the hurricane made landfall. Future analysis of motor vehicle registration, census and social security information, and death certificates may help to provide more clarity. During the Hurricane Ivan evacuation, 600,000 people remained in the city. Mandatory evacuations were also ordered for Assumption, Jefferson, LaForche, Pamines, St. Bernard, St. Charles, St. James parishes, and parts of St. Tammany parishes in Louisiana. In Alabama, evacuations were ordered for parts of Mobile and Baldwin counties. In Mississippi, evacuation was ordered for parts of Hancock, Harrison, and Jackson counties. Now, we're going to be doing a week-long
study on this Hurricane Katrina and some of the devastating effects that the country, the people, and everybody involved, the whole country, felt from this devastating storm. Tomorrow on the show, we'll start with the New Orleans shelters, the Louisiana Superdome, and we'll continue from there. Join us tomorrow. Call in. Leave your comments that we can get you on the air. The call-in number is 206-202-3579. Thanks, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Open fire.
Hey, everybody, this is Daytime Doug with the Open Fire Show. Our call-in number is 206-202-3579. Give it a call, give us a shout, let us know what you think, let your voice be heard. You can catch the podcast at openfire.podomatic.com or go to our website at www.msnusers.com/openfireradioshow. Join the website, use the message boards, use the chat room, take a look at all the neat stuff we got going on. We got giveaways coming up, we've got great topics, great guests, great music, and great fun. So stick around with us and open fire!
Open fire. Fire.
That's all, folks.